And we're holding on Nunhei Amud Aleph, the third line. We were discussing the question, when you have a bunch of Musafim on one day, for example, Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, when you have Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, then you have three Musafim. How many Shir Shoyoms, not how many Shir Shoyoms, but how many Tekiyos do they say? Well, one goes with the other. We said that that there were nine tekiyos for Musaf. So Rav Acha bar Chanina had told us that that you have a separate set of tekiyos for each Shir Shoyoyim. And we were going back and forth discussing that. So it would come out, in other words, that on, for example, Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, you have 27 tekiyos instead of the regular nine, and so forth for other days when you have more than one Musaf. The last thing we said actually was that do you actually even have multiple Shir Shoyoyims on such a day, or do you just have on Rosh Chodesh that comes out on Shabbos, do we say that the one of Rosh Chodesh is Doicha Shabbos? So Rav Safra had said that no, it doesn't mean it's Doicha, it just means that the one for Rosh Chodesh comes first, and the reason is in order to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, now we have a contradiction from a Braisa on Rav Acha bar Chanina. The Tani Rava bar Shmuel, you would think that just like they blow shofar or chatzotzeris separately for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh, kach you token akol musaf or musaf, the same thing would apply to any other pair of musafim or triplet of musafim that come together. Now, when he says shatoken b'fnei atzmoi, we don't mean when they come out together. We mean the same way as every Shabbos they blow, and every Rosh Chodesh when it's on weekdays, then they blow. So you would think the same thing, that you do that when they come out together. Tamad lema over Rosh Chodeshem. Therefore, the pasuk says over Rosh Chodeshem, and it says of skatim, you should blow. So the Braisa is clearly saying that you don't blow separately for every individual Musaf. So tiyupta deravacha. So that's a clear contradiction on deravacha. And the Gemara says, you're right, tiyupta, that's a clear contradiction. So clearly from this Braisa, we see that you don't. You don't blow separately for each Musaf. So first of all, my Talmudah, How does the word Barosh Echad Sheichem teach us anything about the number of tekiyos, about the number of sequences of tekiyos? Amar Abaya, what the Braisa means is Omakro over Rosh Echad Sheichem. It says over Rosh Echad Sheichem, meaning on all of your Rosh Chodeshes, meaning Hukshu Kol Chadoshim Ze Kulam Zelozet. Meaning the Pasuk is making a hekish Nunhei Amar Aleph between all the different Rosh Chodeshim. So in other words, just like in a year, you're going to have, you may have some Rosh Chodesh in it come out on Shabbos, but you're not going to have all of them. Most of them are going to be on weekdays. And the point is, the Braisa is telling us that the Pasuk, by saying the word of Rosh Chodeshim, is comparing all the Rosh Chodesh in one to another. They all have to have the same number of tekiyos. So therefore, weekday Rosh Chodesh has nine tekiyos. Therefore, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh must also have nine and not 18, like Rav Acha would have told us. Which means, by the way, also, when we had the original Braisa that Rav Acha taught, that it said that Lakol Lofi Amusafim Token. So the Gemara was going to say, so he had understood that to mean that you blow more depending on the number of Musafim. But now, so we'll see soon. The Gemara is going to say, so what do we do with his Braisa? But here we have a clear Braisa that says that you don't. So therefore, obviously, you don't, no matter what, you only have nine tekiyos. So that's one way of understanding, because it says a Verashe Chod Sheichem. Rav Ashi, or Maksiv Chod Sheichem, or Chsiv Verashe. Here's another way of looking at it. The Pasuk says a Verashe Chod Sheichem, but the word Chod Sheichem, the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, is missing a Yud. So it can be read as Chod Sheichem, which is Loshen Yochid, one Chodesh. Or Chsiv Verashe, but then it says the heads, plural. The Eza Chodesh Yesh Leshnei Roshim, what month has two heads, is Hebeyem is a Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you have two things. It's Rosh Chodesh and it's Rosh Hashanah. So in effect, you have two heads. V'omer Achmana Chod Shechem, and the Pasuk uses on it the word Chod Shechem. In other words, again, because Chod Shechem is spelt without the Yod. Chadhi, implying that you only have one set of tekiyos. So that's another way of understanding from Rosh Chod Shechem that you have one set of tekiyos and not in that case two or three if it were to come out on Shabbos. V'oid, and also Tanya, we learn in a brisa that we see once we go through this brisa, we'll see how we see from it that you never have multiple, that you never have multiple tkiyas for shir shoyuns. B'chula shol moed, during the days of chol moed sukkos, maho yu oimrim, what shir shoyuns would they say? So the first day they would say Hovu LaShem Bnei Elim. The first day they would sing Kapitel Chof Tes of Tilling. Now, why Dafka that kapitel? Rashi says because at the beginning of Simchas Beis Sheva, because we learned at the beginning of the parak, you don't do Simchas Beis Sheva with the instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Chol Hamoed, the first day you're doing it. So therefore, so Hovu LaShem Bnei Elim, give honor to Hashem, the sons of the powerful ones, which the Gemara tells us elsewhere, the Elim over here mean Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is where we learn, the Gemara learns from there. This is where why we start Shemini Esrei with mentioning the Ovos. Hovul Hashem covered v'oiz, it all has to do with Simchas Beis Sheva, and it mentions Koil Hashem al Amoyim, which refers to Nisuch HaMayim. So therefore, that's an appropriate one for the first day of Chol HaMoed. Basheni Maho Yoimrim, on the second day, what would they say? V'la Rosha Omer Lekim, which is a pasuk from the middle of Kapitel Nun. Most of the Mephoshim understand that it doesn't mean that they only started from that point. It means that they sang the whole kapitel, but the Gemara is focusing on that one pasuk. There is an explanation, actually. One of the poshim, I think in the Eri, maybe, I don't remember, says that, that what it is they sang the whole kapitel, but then at that point, particularly, they started singing, actually, Ben Yoyada says it, actually, that from that point, from V'lorosha Amalekim, and the same thing with the particular psukim that we're mentioning from each of the other ones, they would start raising their voices and singing much louder and more powerfully. Like, all the kapitel up until that point is almost more like an introduction to it, and this is like the main part of it. Anyway, why V'lorosha Amalekim? Rashi explains because you want, during days of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you want to also, besides that there's Simcha, you also want to remind the people about the importance of keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, so that the Beis HaMikdash continues to stand. We had the other day Hillel, for example, stressing that, what he's saying by Simchas Beis HaSheva, Imani Kan Akol Kan, Imata Tova El Beisi, etc. We say to the Rosh, Malachol Asapra Chukai, why are you bothering to talk about my Torah and to come to my Beis HaMikdash with everybody else if you don't do tshuva? Then later on, a few psukim later, we also have Zvach Lelekim Torah, which refers to that bring your Torahs and pay off your Nedarim to Hashem, which is meant to remind people, you know what, you have a mitzvah, Bal Ta'acha, you're not allowed to delay any Neder, Nedava that you made, which you have to bring. We're going to learn in Rosh Hashanah in a couple of months, Baz Hashem. There's different opinions among the Tanoim how long you have before you're over on Bal Ta'acher. But Sukkos, in any case, is according to one opinion, Taka, at the end of Sukkos, you'd be over on Bal Ta'acher because the three Yom Tovim go in order, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. And even if we say that not, the fact is it's 6 months till the next Yom Tov. So therefore, it's a time to remind people, if you have any outstanding Nedarim and Nedavos, Zvach Lelekim Torah, pay them up. Marsha says another point also. The Rosha that we're referring to over here is the Umos Ha'olam. We're going to talk about on Omud Beis, about the Shivim Parim, representing the Shivim Umos Ha'olam, and the idea is, the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash tells us, that if only the Goyim realized how much that protects them, they wouldn't have forget destroying the Beis HaMikdash, they would put armed guards to protect it. So we're telling them, the Rosha, the earlier Pesukim in the capital are speaking to the Jewish people, like, Ekach Mibes HaParim V'Chaseha Atudim, I don't need a par and Atudim, and so forth, from your flocks. In other words, it's not really for you, it's really on behalf of the Goyim. And then we speak to the Goyim themselves. We turn to the Goyim themselves. V'la Rosha Amalekim, what do you think you're doing that you would even dare to harm or destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Bashlishi Maho Yoimim, on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, they would say, Mi Yokum Liyim Mereim, which is the second half of Kapitel Tzadik Dalad. On the fourth day, Chol HaMoed, they would say the first half of that capital, which includes the pasuk Binu Boyer and Ba'am. So what's going on with that? So Rashi, now, so why are they putting the second half first? So Rashi explains, Mi Yokum Li Mireim is referring to the tsaras that the Jewish people go through with the various Goyish kingdoms, Poras Umodai, and then the Yevonim, and the Romans. So even with all of that, even with Mi Yokum Li Mireim, who will stand up to for me on against these evildoers, stand Lulei Hashem as Yosali Kimat Shochna Domanapshi, still we come and we rejoice by Simchas Beis Hasheva. So therefore, that's appropriate to put first. Then Binu Boyerim Ba'am is another thing during Sukkot. Another thing we have to remind people: it's time for Matnas Aniyim. This is the time when you're gathering in your harvest from the fields where it's been drying all summer, and you have some later crop. You have some crops like grapes and whatnot, which you're first harvesting now. So it's time. You have to remember to leave your Matnas Aniyim. So now, as it's getting later in Sukkot and it's getting time, it's getting closer to when they're going home. We remind them through the Shir Shoyim to make sure to take Maaser. Now, Maaser you do at home. So a person might think to himself, so I won't take Maaser. I won't give Leket Shit Chopay or whatever. Who's going to know the difference? So we remind them with the first half of that kapitel. The Eivishter knows, Hanoita Ozen Allah Yishmaim, Yetza Ayin Allah Yabit, etc., etc. So therefore, so that's why we do it in that order. Bachmishi Maho, Yomim HaSiroisi Misevel Shich. Right. The fifth day Chol Hamoed Sukkos, they say Kapitel Pei Aleph, which includes the Pasuk Hasiroisi Misevel Shichmo, which is Rashi says Divrei Tanchumin. Batzara Karosa V'Achal Tzecha. When you're in trouble, then you call out and I save you. And we mention Evchon Chal Mei Meriva Sela, which refers to the Mayim Bachag Midon and Alamayim. I'll send you a bracha. So therefore, so that whole capital is Divrei Tanchumin and reminding the Jewish people you're being judged about water, but if you do the right thing, then you're going to get water, you're going to get rain, and Hashem is going to give you everything you need. On the sixth day, so now we're up to Hoshana Rabbah. Then they would do capital pay base elikim nitzavada scale, because again that has a pasuk in it oniva rosh hatzdiku, which again refers to giving maaser to the poor people. Make sure you give fairly to the poor people. And Rashi in fact refers to a gemara in Chulin that says that pasuk in fact is referring to maaser. Lo yodu v'lo yavinu b'chashech yishalachu means a person who doesn't care about that is going to end up in choshech and misa. So that's the kapitel at the end. The Ritva brings another point as well. Yimotu komoste aretz means then to the foundations of the world tremble or fall, and that has to do dafka with the sixth day of Sukkot, because it represents the 6,000 years of the world, where we say shita al shinin have alma, and then at the end of that, there's going to be a new world. So therefore, we put Yimotu on the sixth day of Sukkot to symbolize that idea. Now, if Shabbos comes out on one of those days of Chol Hamoed, Yimotu Yidocha, then we push off Yimotu. In other words, we move everything down one day in that case. So we have, if let's say the first day Chol Hamoed comes out on Shabbos, instead of doing Hovu Lashem B'nei Elim on that first day like we were supposed to do, instead we do that on Sunday. And then Velorosha Omer Lakim then is on Monday, the third day of Chol Hamoed, and so forth. And then by the time you come to Hoshana Rabbah, you're doing Hasiros Misev HaShichmoy, and there's no room for Yimotu. So Yimotu, so the main thing Rashi says is because there's psukim in that capital that remind people you better give your maestris, otherwise there's going to be Onivarosha Tzdiku, otherwise there's going to be trouble. Hashaycha Yishalachu. Now, the Ritva also adds this remez about after the 6,000 years of the world. But so if there's a day that when you don't do one of these Shir Shoyim, because instead you have the Shir Shoyim of Shabbos, then you push out Yimotu. So that's the order. Rav Safra Manach Bo Simona Kum Behi. So Rav Safra used a mnemonic to remember it, a simon to remember it, the initials of these things. Havu Vila Rosha Mi Yakum Binu Boyerim Hasiroisi and Yimotu, which spells out the word Hum Behi. Rav Papa Manach Bo Simona Hum Habi. Rav Papa mostly agrees, but his version of the Braisa has Hasiroisi Misevo Shichmo before Binu Boyerim Ba'am. And again, the idea is, given that Binu Boyerim Ba'am is one of the ones to remind the people about their maestros, then you want it as close, the Papa would say, you want it as close as possible to the end of Sukkot. Why put in Hasiroisi Misevel Shichmoy And then you have Binu Boyunim Ba'am, which is again one of the reminders about Maestris. Don't forget, Hanoita Oizen, Alo Yishma, etc. Put it as close as possible to the end of Sukkot. So he switches those two around, and his simon is Hum Habi. The simonach, the simon, to remember which one said which, is remember the expression Ambuha de Sakri, a crowd of the teachers. So Rashi explains, a sofer over here means a teacher, a melamed. What happens is when you have a melamed lives in a particular mavui, then you always have parents of the children coming over there. The word ambuha means a crowd, the sakri of the teachers. So therefore, so that helps you remember that Rav Safra, whose name resembles the word sakri, is the one who said hum behi, which is similar to the word ambuha, where the beis is before the hay. Anyway, the point is that we see from all of that, also, so we see also that that whole braisa is a contradiction on Rav Acha Bachanina. Because according to Rav Acha Bachanina, why would we have to push out Yimotu altogether? If any of these days comes out on Shabbos, you do the Shir Shir Yom of Shabbos, and then you do this, then you do the Shir Shir Yom for the day. So the fact that you don't, the fact that the braisa says in that case you're going to be moving everything down one day, implies that you don't have more than one Shir Shir Yom on that day. Gemara says, you're right, Tiyuvda. In fact, actually, there are a couple of interesting explanations on this from Achronim. The Minchas Chinuch talks about this. There's others that talk about it. This that we're saying that you don't have multiple Shir Shir Yoyims, maybe that only applies on a, or that we do have multiple Shir Shir Yoyims, is maybe only on a day which is Osir Basias Malacha. The Minchas Chinuch says that. So as a chalamoid, you're allowed to do certain kinds of malacha, therefore it's one or the other. Mashenkin, for example, if it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, or Shabbos Yom Tov, or whatever, we would in fact have more than one Shir Shir Yom, though as the Gemara had said before, we shlugged up Rav Acha Bachanina, and therefore there's not extra tkiyas for it. But here, where it's chalamoid, we don't even have that. We push out, we don't have the Shir Shir Yom of the, we don't have the Shir Shir Yom of the weekday Bechlal, we only have the Shir Shir Yom of the, we only have the Shir Shir Yom for the day of Chol HaMoed. That's one way of understanding it. There's other possibilities. Maybe they say the Shir Shir Yom of the weekday by the Tomid Shor Shachar, and then they say this one by Musaf. Maybe also there's an explanation that maybe only when it comes to Rosh Chodesh or maybe only Rosh Hashanah do we say more than one Shir Shir Yom. Again, like we said before, Kedei L'Farsim Shul Rosh Chodesh. We don't need to be Mefarsim that today is Chol HaMoed, so therefore we can have that the Shir Shir Yom over here replaces the one of the weekday rather than supplements it. And there's a few different possibilities that I've heard. That's right. So in fact, one explanation, in fact, is that Davka Rosh Hashanah, because it's the day when we're crowning Hashem as king, then we want to have extra Shir Shir Yoyims, but on a regular Yom Tov, maybe not, we would only have the one. Okay, anyway. So the question is, Rav Acha Bachanina kro masnisa kamar. Rav Acha Bachanina had a pasuk on his side because he and a braisa. He brought a braisa that learned from the word yisku b'chatzotzeris, where the word yisku was extra, and he said that it meant hakol l'fi amusafim tokim. So at most we could say that the braisas disagree or something. Why are we slugging them up completely? The answer is Omer Ravina loy mishma arichin b'tkiyas. Ravina says, you know what? Rav Acha Bachanina misunderstood the braisa that he brought. All the braisa was saying when it said that we learn from Yisku, what do we learn from it? Doesn't mean that we have extra tkiyas when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos or whatever. It means that we lengthen the tkiyas. It means that the braisa had said l'fi amusafim tokim. So Rav Acha understood it to mean separate tkiyas for each musaf. That's not what it means. You only have one shear, so they have, and with it come teisha tkiyas. The braisa is saying what you do is when there's two musafim, and therefore there are two shear shoyims. So they make the tkiyas longer than they would usually, such that they cover the time, such that they cover both shirim. So after they bring the nesachim of both musafim, then they sing both shiras, but they only do one set of tkiyas for them. So akol l'fiyam musafim tokim doesn't mean the number of tkiyas, means the length of the tkiyas. Rabbanan de Kesri Mishmeid Rav Acha Amri, the Chachamim of Kesri said in the name of Rav Acha, but Pashto's a different Rav Acha. It means loyma shemarbe b'token. Another possibility is that instead of making the tkiyas longer, what we do is we have more people who are blowing. So like this, you would usually have one kohen blowing the chatzotzeris over there. Like this, we have two or three or whatever it is, depending on the number of musafim. but not that we have more, and all of that is counted as the same number of tkiyas. So again, you don't have more tkiyas. So we shlugged up Rav Acha bar Chanina because not his braisa itself. His braisa itself is still valid, and the proof it brings from the pasuk is still valid, but it doesn't mean more tkiyas, it means longer tkiyas or more people blowing those tkiyas. According to the second explanation, the shiur of the tkiyas would be the same. The length of the tkiyas would be the same. They just have more people blowing it at the same time. So now, since we talked about the Shir Shoyoms and of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and we're talking about that in case one of the days of Chol HaMoed comes out on Shabbos, then we move everything down one day and we push it off. So now the Gemara digresses a minute to talk about something else involving something that you do every day of Sukkos where something may have to be pushed off. Namely like this. Each day of Sukkos, we say each day of Sukkos, as we're going to learn on Omid Beis, they had a different number of korbanos, and therefore each day we lane and we say in Musaf the psukim for that day. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's straightforward. You have one day Yom Tov and you say Uvachamisha Asa Yom. The second day is the first day Chol HaMoed, you say Uvayem HaSheni. The third day Uvayem HaShlishi and so forth until Hoshana Rabbah, you say Bayem HaShvi'i, and Shmini Atzeres, you say Bayem HaShmini. Fine. What about in Chutz La'aretz? The problem is, in Chutz La'aretz, you don't want to. So we have 2 days. We have 2 days of Yom Tov because of the Suffolk. We can't go and say Uvayom HaSheni. What do we do on the second day of Sukkot? We can't say Uvayom HaSheni because Uvayom HaSheni already refers to a day of Chol HaMoed. To say that on Yom Tov would be mezalzel, and Yom Tov would make it look like you're considering the Yom Tov to be maybe a weekday, and you don't want to do that. Then on the other hand, we come to Chol HaMoed. And then already it's the third day of Yom Tov. So what do we do? So Va'anan the Islam Tre Yomi, we in Bavel and in Chutz La'aretz, where we have 2 days Yom Tov, Heichi Avdinan, what do we do as far as the Psukim of the Musafim? Do we in fact say Uvayem HaSheni during Yom Tov? Or do we skip one of the days, or what do we do? So Abaya Omer Sheni Yidocha. So Abaya says, what you do is you skip the Uvayim Asheni. What you do is on the 2 days of Yom Tov, you say Uvachamisha Asa Yom. Then comes the first day Chol HaMoed. You don't do Uvayim Asheni because maybe today is Yom Asheni, but it's already the third day of Sukkot. So you say Uvayim Ashlishi. You didn't say Uvayim Asheni on Yom Tov again because you don't want to be mezalzel on Yom Tov. So you skip Uvayim Asheni, and each of the other days you say just the psukim that would be that day if there was no Sfeika Diyoma. So that the first day of Chol HaMoed Uvayim Ashlishi and the second day Uvayim Arvi and so forth. Rava Amar Shvi Yidocha. Rava says it's the one for the seventh day that gets pushed out. And Tanya Kavasei the Rabbi and Chal Shabbos the Esbech Man Yimotu Yidocha. So the Braisa that we just said about the Shir Shoyim supports Rava the same way as we say over there. You keep going in order, but you move everything down one day. The same way over here, you're moving everything down one day. So on the first day of Chol HaMoed, you say Uvayim HaSheni, the second day Uvayim HaShlishi, and so forth. And therefore, comes Shoshana Rabbah, you're saying Uvayim HaShishi, and there's no room to say Uvayim HaShvi. Again, you're not going to say Uvayim HaShvi on Shmini Atzeres, because even though technically it is Shmini Sofek Shvi, like we learned in the previous perek, nevertheless, you don't want to openly say that and treat it as though it was a Yom Chol. So the seventh one gets pushed out. Just like over there, Yimotu gets pushed out. On the other hand, Askin Amema b'Nahada d'medalgi dalugi. Amema made a takana in Nahada that what we do is we skip from one to the next. So what we do is each day of Chol HaMoed, we say the two possibilities, the two Sfeika D'Yomas. So the first day Chol HaMoed, we do say Uvayim HaSheni. We don't skip it like Abaya said. We say it together with Uvayim HaShlishi, because today is either the second or the third day of Sukkot. The same way the next day, Shlishi and Revi and so forth. Until we reach Hoshana Rabbah, we say Uvayim HaShishi, Uvayim HaShvi, and then comes Shmini Atzeres, and we say only Uvayim HaShmini. So Rashi explains, now this is talking about not only what we say in davening, it's also relevant to what we lay. So Rashi says like this, the first three oilim, it doesn't really matter so much what they lay. It's the fourth oiler that we're concerned about. We want him to be laying according to Amemas Takana, and this is how we do. We want him to be laying the two possibilities of Sfeika Diyoma. So according to Rashi, it would come out So the first day, so the first three olim can be laning. So according to Rashi, the first three olim, for example, on the first day Chol HaMoed can be laning respectively by Yom HaSheni, by Yom HaShlishi, and even by Yom HaRevi'i. It's definitely not the fourth day of Sukkot over here. It doesn't matter. The first three olim, Rashi says, doesn't really matter what they're laning. The main thing is the fourth olah, the one that's special for Chol HaMoed, because if it was a weekday, we would only be laning three. We'd only be laning three aliyahs. So therefore, the fourth one lanes by Yom HaSheni or by Yom HaShlishi. Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says that after all, you have a couple of problems with that, Tosfos says. First of all is, why should we ignore what the first three Olim are doing? And number two, if you're going to do like that, so each day you do the two Sfeika D'Yomas plus the next day, what are you doing when you come to Hashanah Rabbah? You're going to do on Hashanah Rabbah. You can't do by Yom HaShishi, by Yom HaShvi, or by Yom HaShmini, because why are you learning something from Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed? If you're going to do by Yom HaChamishi, Shishi, Shvi, then it's not the same pattern as the other ones. So therefore, Tosfos says the better thing to do would be the first Oila gets, let's say on the first day Chol HaMoed gets a Vayim HaSheni. The second one, Levi, gets a Vayim HaShlishi. The Yisrael also gets a Vayim HaShlishi. And then the fourth one, and then the fourth Oila gets Vayim HaSheni or Vayim HaShlishi. And you follow that pattern throughout all the other days. So nobody is laning by Yom Revi on the second day, on the first day Chol HaMoed, or by Yom HaChamishi on the second day, and so forth. You're sticking strictly within the ones that are Sfeika D'Yom. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins like Tosfos's opinion. So therefore, you wouldn't go outside of the days of Sfeika D'Yom, and the Levi and the Yisroel would be laning the exact same thing. The Ramah brings like Rashi. That what you do is it's okay to go to the next day by Yom Revi, even though it doesn't belong to today, because it doesn't really matter what the first three Olam are doing, and that's Minag Ashkenaz, and our Minag is to do just that. So it's true, like Tosfos says, on Hashanah Rabbah, you're kind of breaking that pattern because you can't do by Yom HaShmini, so therefore you're going back to by Yom HaChamishi. You're doing by Yom so the unlike the other days when it's the Kohen and the Levi that are laying in the two parts that are appropriate to today, and the Yisrael is doing something further, and Hashanah Rabbah, the other way around, the Kohen is doing something that doesn't belong to today at all, and the Levi and the Yisrael are doing Bayim HaShishi or Bayim HaShvi respectively, and in all cases, the fourth Oila has the two Sfeika D'Yomas. That's as far as Chutz La'aretz. As far as Eretz Yisrael, you also have different possibilities. Do you have, in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sfeika D'Yomas. Do you have that each of the four Olim lanes the exact same thing? So, for example, the first day Chol HaMoed, each one of them is laning the Psukim of Vayim or Vayim HaSheni. Or do we say that even so, we still don't, as much as possible, we don't want that different Olim should be laning the same thing, and therefore maybe we have them go between Vayim HaSheni or Vayim HaShlishi. We have for the Kohen would do by Yom HaSheni, the Levi would do by Yom HaShlishi, the Yisrael would do both, and then Revi would do only by Yom HaSheni on the next day of Yom HaShlishi, and so forth. There are actually in Shulchan Aruch Paskin the first way that you just the four Olim each one does the exact same thing as the previous one. There is actually a sicha from Tavshin Memtes where the Rebbe seemed to imply the other way, that even in Eretz Yisrael on the first day Chol HaMoed they're laning over Yom HaShlishi as well. On the other hand, it's not so clear that the Rebbe meant that as a harol lemaisa. So in practice, you have I'm given to understand that among Anash in Eretz Yisrael, you have different minhagim about it. Some people do it one way, they just lane all four, the each Ola has the same thing, and some of them keep going back and forth between Vayim HaSheni or Vayim HaShlishi, and similarly on the other days. As far as in Musaf, so again, in Eretz Yisrael, they just do the one day, Vayim HaSheni on the first day, Chol HaMoed, or Vayim HaShlishi on the next day, and so forth. In Chutz La'aretz, we do both of them, and there's always the point, which we have to remember, that you have to say, when Chosim, individually, after each one, because each one is the korban that is a korban all by itself, and it needed a min Chosim and a skeim k'medubar. So don't think that you say, Vayim HaSheni, Vayim HaShlishi, and then only then you say, min Chosim. In the older Sidurim, it was a little confusing, because they just had the word, Chosim printed after the first one, and it wasn't so clear what that meant. And the newer Sidurim actually print out the paragraph of Chosim after each one individually, so it becomes easier to realize what you need to do. So to summarize, since we're going to a new Mishnah, so again, we started with Rav Acha bar Chanina's opinion that you have for each time when you have multiple Shir Shoyim, then each one has its own tkiyas. We shlug that up. we said that either you just have longer tekiyas or more koyanim blowing tekiyas, but you always only have 9 tekiyas for musafim. And we also talked about the special shir shoyoyims that you have for the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and what we do with the sequence of them, if there's a day of Shabbos in between. And then also we talked about what we do as far as saying and laning the korbanos of musaf on the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. The Mishnah says, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Hoyosham Yud Gimel Parim, on the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkos. Now most Yom Tovim, you had far fewer korbanos. There were 24 mishmaros. The din is, as we're the din is, all the mishmaros, as we're going to learn at the top of the next Amud, all the mishmaros have an equal right to serve in the Bais Hamikdash on the Yom Tovim. The rest of the year, you have each mishmar has a week when it's their turn, but the Shalosh Regalim, all three of them have all 24 of them have equal rights. However, most Yom Tovim, as far as the Korbanos Tzibur, you only have so many. You don't have enough to go around. On a typical Yom Tov, you have Parechad, or some of them you have Shnei Par, you have Parim Shnayim, Ayelachad, Shiva Kvasim, and Asur Lachatos, so you have 10 or 11 Korbanos Tzibur each day, and that's not enough for 24 Mishmaros. So of necessity, they're going to have to make a pious, they're going to have to make a girdle between them like they do throughout the rest of the year to determine which Kohenim are going to do which Avodos. Sukkos, you have many more Korbanos. So you have enough most of the days to go around all the Mishmaros. So Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Hoyosham Yud Gimel Parim, the first day Yom Tov, you have 13 Parim, Elim Shnayim, 2 rams, V'Sor Echad, and 1 goat. So far, that's 16 Korbanos. So that takes care of 16 Mishmaros. Nishtayrosham Yudalad Kvasim L'Shmona Mishmaros. And after that, you have left. There are 14 Kvasim as part of the Musafim, which then you have 8 remaining mishmaros to split them to split those 14 kvas in between. So by Yom Rishon, so on the first day of Sukkos, shisha makrivim shnayim shnayim, 6 of those 8 mishmaros each bring 2 sheep as the korban. Vashar echad echad, and the remaining 2 mishmaros bring 1 each, and that takes care of the 14. Vasheni, on the second day, chamisha makrivim shnayim shnayim, you have 1 fewer par. So now instead of 30 korbanos, you have 29. So 5 of the mishmaros each bring 2 sheep, v'ashar echad echad, and the rest bring 1 each. V'ashlishi, the third day, you're down another par. You have 28 animals altogether. So chamisha, so v'ashlishi dalad makrivim shnayim shnayim. The third day, 2 mishmaros each, 4 mishmaros rather, each bring 2 sheep, v'ashar echad echad, and the remaining mishmaros each bring 1. Because by the time you get to the sixth day, you're down to 25 animals as korbanos. You have 8. You have 8 parim, 2 elim, 1 sir makes so far 11, and 14 sheep is 25. So one of the mishmaros is bringing 2 sheep, and all the other ones are bringing 1 animal each. Bashvi, Kolan Shabin, the seventh day, Hashanah Rabbah, they're all equal because you have exactly 24 animals and exactly 24 mishmaros. Bashmini, Chosru Lepayis, Kibur Agolim, and Shmini Atzeres, you only have Par Echad, Ayel Echad, Shiva Kvasim, and 1 Sur for a Chakra, so it's only 10. So therefore, you don't have enough for all the mishmaros anyway. So you don't continue on that pattern like you did throughout the rest of the Sukkos. Instead, you have a pious between all the mishmaros to see which ones are going to do which. So kibara golim, just like we do on all the other Yom Tovim. Now, how do we determine who gets the part? Now, in particular, we want to focus on the parim, the pashtus. The reason is because the par requires the largest number of koyanim to bring it to the mizbeach. The Mishnah in Yoma tells us that when they brought a par as a korban, they needed 24 koyanim to bring it together with its nesachim to the mizbeach, as opposed to an ayil only requires 11 and a keves only requires 9. So it was a privilege for a mishmar to be able to bring a par, because then a larger number of koyanim from that mishmar are able to do the avodah. So amru, so they said, mi shehikruv parim ayoyim lo yakruv v'machar. Any mishmar that brought parim today does not also bring parim tomorrow. Ela chozer chalila, they go in a rotation. Meaning, the first day then you have the first, so according to Rashi, what it is you're always going according to the order of the mishmaris from the beginning. The first Mishmer is called Yehoyariv. They're listed in Divrei Yomim. The second one is called Yedaya. The third one is called Chorim, and so forth. So every year, according to Rashi, it comes out every year. Then the first day of Sukkot, the Mishmer Yehoyariv, the first one, is getting the first power. Yedaya gets the second power. Chorim gets the third power, etc. On the first day of Sukkot, until we've gone through the first 13 Mishmaris with the Parim, and then the remaining 11 Mishmaris have the remaining animals. Of those, a few Mishmaris have two sheep. Then the second day, we pick up with the Parim from where we left off. So therefore, Mishmar number 14, which is called Yesheva, we're going to talk about it at the end of the Masechta, gets the first power of the second day. The 15th Mishmar Bilga gets the second power, and so forth, going through all the way down to 24, and then wrapping around to one, because you have 12 Parim, so of necessity, Yehoyariv is going to get to do a power 2 days in a row, because there's no other choice. You have 25 parim between the 2 days and only 24 mishmaris. And then the third day, we're going to start from mishmar number two, from Yedaya, and keep on going like that. So it comes out at the end, as the Gemara is going to tell us, since you have altogether 70 parim, and 70 divided by 24 leaves two remainder 22, it means that most of the mishmaris get to bring parim three times, two of them only get to bring parim twice. The Ramban has a bit of a different explanation of how they decided which Mishmar goes first. He brings from Tesefta a couple of possibilities. One is that they had a representative of each Mishmar stand over there in a circle. And then he brings two possibilities. Is it that once they pick the Mishmar that would begin the cycle, then they automatically go from that according to the order of Mishmaris? So let's say, they did the usual kind of pious. The Mishnah in Yuma tells us that you have the Kohenim stand in a circle over there, and the guy would pick some large random number and start counting fingers around the circle until he lands on somebody. So let's say, according to the Ramban, let's say, for example, that they pick the representative, let's say, of Mishmar number 10. So now there's two possibilities. So Mishmar number 10 is going to bring the first power. Now, do we do after that then that the sequence for that year is just strictly numerical from there? The next one is number 11, and the next one is Mishmar number 12, and so on and so forth. And therefore, that year, for example, Mishmar number 10 is the one who's going to get to bring a power twice on 2 days in a row, the first and the second day. And Mishmaris number 8 and 9, let's say, are going to be the ones that year who don't get a power the third time. Or is it that we go according to the order in which they're standing? They're not necessarily standing in the order of the Mishmaris that they represent. So then maybe we do like that. The first one goes to Mishmar number 10, let's say, because they picked him. But then standing by his right side, let's say, is the representative of Mishmar number 16. So he would be the second one. And standing next to him is the representative of Mishmar number 2. And he'd be the third one, and so forth. And we determine it that way. Then Amban brings up both possibilities. But according to him, it's not a fixed thing from year to year which Mishmaris are going to get which, like the way that Rashi is saying. So the Gemara says, Neima masnisin Rebbi hi v'loy Rabbanan. Should we have to say that our Mishnah had mentioned that after they go through the 7 days of Sukkot, then on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres, we said they go back to doing a pious like on all the other Yom Tov. So Neima masnisin Rabbanan Rebbi hi v'loy Rabbanan. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbi, not the Rabbanan? The Tanya, par haba b'shmini b'tchila, the par that's brought for the first time on the eighth day, the one par as opposed to the other days when you had seven or eight or however many it is par in. Sorry, par haba b'shmini b'tchila mafisin all of divrei Rebbi. Rebbi says they make an initial pious on it as if it was the beginning of the korbanos of Yom Tov, and all the mishmaris are eligible for that pious. The Chum said, we have two Mishmaris that were the odd ones out, where we said they didn't get to do a power the third time. So therefore, they make a pious between themselves to see who gets to do this power of Shmini Atzeres. The fact that the Mishnah says, Vashmini Chazru L'Pious Kibur Regalim, now on the other Regalim, all 24 Mishmaris are eligible, sounds like on Shmini Atzeres also all of them are eligible. That would only be a coincidence. The answer is, Afilo Teimer Rabbanan. No, you could say our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan as well. After all, even you have two Mishmaras, the fact is you have to make a pious between those two to see which one is going to get it. So therefore, the Mishnah can still be using the words. Chozul a pious. You're right, it's not exactly the same kind of pious as by the Regalim, because there they have 24 Mishmaras, and here it's only two. But still, the point is that they make a pious at all, whereas with the rest of Sukkot, according to Rashi, they're not making a pious at all. And according to the Ramban, they're making a pious only to establish the beginning of how we start off the order. So now we're going back to a pious. Okay, according to the Chachamim, it would be between those two Mishmaras. The Gemara says, Keman Ozla Hodatanya, which of these opinions does it go according to this that we learn in a Braisa? Kol Mishmaras Shonis Mishalchus, all the Mishmaras would repeat bringing Parim and do it even a third time. Chutz Mishnei Mishmaras Shonis Vein Mishalchus, except for two that only bring Parim twice. As we said, 70 divided by 24 is two less than even. Name a Rebbe v'loy Rabbanon. We have to say that Braisa is only according to Rebbe, because according to that's only according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, since all 24 Mishmaras are eligible to bring the par of Shmini Atzeres, and they make a goyel, they make a pious between all 24 of them, so therefore you're not necessarily so the likelihood is that you're going to have two Mishmaras that end up bringing only twice, and you're going to have one of the other 22 Mishmaras which already brought Purim three times. There's a much greater likelihood that one of them is going to end up with it. And the answer is no. No, because you could say it's according to the Chachamim, and it means the Mishmaras who didn't get a third one of the Purim of the sequence during Sukkot. We're not addressing what happened to them on Shmini Atzeres. So in that case, if it's according to the Chachamim, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, we ourselves can do the calculation and find out that there are two that are missing. And the answer is want to stress for us what we said in the Mishnah, that you go in a rotation. Otherwise, you would have thought that maybe, let's say, according to Rashi, that you always go according to the Seder of the Mishmaras. So maybe the first day, the first 13 Mishmaras get the Parim, and the second day, the first 12 Mishmaras get the Parim, and the third day, the first 11, and so forth, such that over the 7 days of Sukkot, Yehoyariv would get seven Parim, and then Yedaiah would get six, and so forth, and then only the first 13 Mishmaras are participating in Parim. So no, the Tana wants to just want the Tanakam, the Chachamim in this Braisa, want us to know it's not like that. Like we said, when we learned the Mishnah, that we go in a rotation and we want to make sure that as many as possible Mishmaras have three chances to bring part in. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lazar, really. Hani Shivim Parim Kneged Mi. Who do these 70 Parim correspond to? They are Kneged Shivim Umis. They correspond to the 70 nations of the world. And par yichidi lama, why do we have one par on Shmini Atzeres? Keneged uma yichida, representing the unique nation, the Jewish people. So after we bring korbanos on behalf of the goyim, then we'll bring korbanos on behalf of ourselves. Mashal, a melech boss of Adam, sh'amal avadav, like a human king that tells his servants, asuli sudag deyla l'yoyim achron. He tells his servants, make me a big party for the last day that we're all together. Asuli sudag doyla. He says, make for me a big suda. L'yoyim achron. And then on the last day, omal oyavoy, he says to his close friend, aseli sudag tana, now make for me a small suda, kadesha ahonim imcha, so I can have personal hana from you, because I don't really enjoy the company of all those avadim, only yours. The same way Hashem says, so to speak, I don't really enjoy the company of the goyim and the korbanos on their behalf, only you, Yisrael l'malka b'chodoy, as the expression is in the Zohar, that we Jewish people are alone together with Hashem on that day. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, so in that connection, Rabbi Yechanan says, Olam la'ovdik echavim, a woe to the goyim, or umas ha'olam, sha'avdu, that what they lost, to any yodin masha avdu, they don't even realize what they lost by those korbanos. Because when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the Mizbeach would be mechaper for them with these korbanos. But achshav mi mechaper aleihem, now what brings kafara for them, they don't have anything. Now there's also in other places where it talks about that the reason why the numbers get less and less from day to day is represented, actually brings it on the pasuk, is keneged umas olam shemismat and behochin, that they become less and less over time. So Rashi says, "Bizman Hamikdash, they would save them from Puranus after the Churban, which they themselves brought about. Then now the Parei Achag represent the fact that their hashpah is waning and then getting lesser and lesser over time. which as opposed to, for example, Neiris Chanukah, where we're Moisif Baholich. There is a very interesting explanation on this from Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch about the symbolism of these numbers of korbanos and the fact that the Purim are mismat and vahochim. So he explains b'chlal. He has b'chlal, a very symbolic explanation of all that applies to pretty much all the korbanos, where he explains b'chlal that kvasim represent a person or us, the Jewish people, in our relationship with Hashem as sheep to a shepherd, that Hashem guides us and guides our history and whatever. Elim, which are stronger animals, he says, represent a person that, in particular, they lead the flock. They're the animals that lead, that walk in front of the flock. So they represent the quality of leadership. And Purim, he says, represent the power of avoda, of actually doing things like a power is used as a work animal, unlike Kvasim and Elim. So he explains the idea is, so what do you see on Sukkot? You have 14 kvasim, which is twice as many as you have on a regular Yom Tov, 2 elim, which is also twice as many as you have on a regular Yom Tov, and the parim, meanwhile, you have, instead of starting out with 14, you're starting out with 13 and then going down from there. So he says, in effect, what you're doing over here is, on Sukkot, you're representing two different groups, the Jewish people and the rest of the world. So therefore, so you have 7 kvasim for each, representing in terms of being guided by Hashem, we are, and so are they. They may not realize it, but their histories and everything are also being guided by Hashem. Therefore, we bring an equal number of sheep for us as for them. Same thing, Elim, we have a power of leadership, so do they. Therefore, 1 aisle for each. The Purim, on the other hand, so we do what Hashem wants. Therefore, we have 7 Purim, representing that we have that relationship of Hashem in Shivas Yimei Abinyan, in all seven dimensions. Mashen Kenei, all they have is they relate to Hashem in terms of Sheishes Yimei Bereishis, let's say, not with a full relationship. Therefore, 6. As time goes on, we keep on reducing the number of Purim, representing that this idea where they're not following Hashem in Maaseh fully gets less and less over time till we come to our Shina Rabbah. We have then there's 0 Purim for them, representing at that point like they and we are on the same are eventually going to be lost love on an equal level where we're doing our mitzvahs and they're doing theirs and everybody is doing exactly what they're supposed to. Therefore, representing Shiva Purim for both together for both groups, because in that sense, in other words, we become one group. We're all doing what the Eibishter wants of us. So therefore, that's why it goes down. That's why it goes down like that. And b'chlal, actually, you find there is a much more of a connection that the Umas Ha'olam have to Sukkot more so than to the other Yom Tovim. We see it in the Haftarah during Sukkot. We talk about in the Haftarah on the first day of Sukkot that after Milchamas Gog and Magog, the Goyim are going to be expected to come celebrate Sukkot together with us. And anybody who doesn't, v'loy aleim yagoshem, and they're going to have Magefus and whatever. So the Torah of Shabbos Chol Hamoed Sukkot is about Milchamas Gog and Magog. There's a certain relationship between Sukkot is unlike Pesach and Shavuos and the Yom Tovim, which are specifically for us Jewish people. Sukkot has a certain thing about it that has a shaychus to the Goyim as well. He says also a very interesting explanation b'chlal in that connection. What's the major mitzvah of Sukkot and what the Yom Tov is called after is the Sukkah. So he says now on the other hand you have Milchamas Gog and Magog. So he says, Goyg is Moloshin Gag, a roof. The mentality of the Goyim is we have roofs. We have our own houses. We have our own Koiches Atzmei that we live off of. We don't need the Eibishter. Whereas we say during Sukkot, we Adarab, we go and live in the Sukkah under the protection of the Eibishter. La'osid Lover, they're going to try with Mochamas Gog and Magog to try and impose that philosophy of there is once and for all. They get defeated and destroyed. After that, every year, they are expected to come and show, we're not Goig, we're not Gag people anymore. We are Sukkah people, just like you Jewish people. And if they don't, then the Eibishter says, then you're going to get what you deserve because you're still showing that you don't accept that the Eibishter runs the world. So Bizman Hazeh, the idea is as time is going on, it's becoming, or it's supposed to be becoming, that they come closer and closer to having a relationship with Hashem parallel to ours, where they're doing what they're supposed to, which is Shev Mitzvah Neneach, just as we're doing what we're supposed to, which is Tayag Mitzvah. The Mishnah says, the Shloisha Prokim Bashana. So 3 times a year, how you call them Shmonis Shabbos, the Emurah Regalim, during these 3 times a year, the Shalosh Regalim, all the Mishmaris are equal, the Emurei Harigolim, in the Emurim of the Yom Tovim, of the Korbanos of Yom Tov. Now, Emurim usually means the parts burnt on the Mizbeach, and the Gemara is going to ask about it. So Rashi over here, right away, forestalls that by saying, we're talking about the skins of the Olus, which go to the Kohenim, and the Chaz of a Shoik of the Shlomim, of a people that bring Shamei Chagiga, where they're bringing it because of Yom Tov. So they all have equal shares in that, over Chiluk, Lachem Aponim, and they all get equal portions of Lachem Aponim on Shabbos that comes out during Yom Tov. Batseres Oymaloi, on Shavuos, if it comes out on Shabbos, and they have, so they're giving out the Lachem Aponim, they're also giving out the Shtei Lachem. As we give out a portion to each one, we tell them, here's matzah from the lechem aponim, and here's chametz from the shtei lechem. So the reason why we want to tell them that, Rashi explains, is because the din is, you have to give out each mincha individually. You can't say, for example, let's trade off, I'll take all of this mincha, you'll take all of that mincha. Each kohen has to get an equal share of each mincha, so therefore we want to stress to him, don't think you're getting only lechem aponim, and you're getting, let's say, a larger portion of lechem aponim, and you're not getting shtei lechem, or vice versa, you're getting a portion of both. Continues the Mishnah. Mishmer Shizmane Kavua. Now, the fact is, during Sukkot, so during any of the Yom Tovim, you also have the regular Mishmer whose turn it is that week, where they go in a rotation. The first week, the first Mishmer, and the second week, the second one, and so forth. So the Mishmer whose time is fixed, meaning that now is their regular week. But right now, we're saying all the other Mishmeres are coming and serving as well. So what does that Mishmer get? Who makrit tamidim? The members of that Mishmer still are the ones who bring the Korbanos Tamid. Nedorim u'nedavos, and they bring anybody's nedorim u'nedavos that they were menadiv all year round, where that those have nothing to do per se with Yom Tov. It happens. People are in town for Yom Tov, so they bring them, but they're not actually tied to Yom Tov. U'shar korbanos tzibur, and any other korbanos tzibur that don't have to do with the Yom Tovim. U'makrib is a kol, and they are makrib everything else, which we'll see in the Gemara what we mean by everything else. So the Gemara starts off, what do you mean, Emurei Harigolim Shagobayamin? What do you mean, those go on the Mizbeach? There's no equal in those. Amar Rav Chista, Masha Amur Harigolim. Right, by Emurei Harigolim, what we mean is what is said about the Yom Tovim, about the Korbanos, where the Kohenim get portions of them. Again, like we said, the Chaz of a Shoik of Shlomim and the skins of Olus, where all of those, the Torah says that the Kohenim get those. The word Emurim B'chlal, there are Mephoshim who explain it. The word Emurim, meaning the fats, also comes from the word Amira, that it means what was said in the Torah that they have to be brought. Right. And there are other explanations, one of them being that the word Emurim is related to, we had in last week's parasha, Hashem Ha'amarta Yom, Hashem Ha'amircha Yom, means the important, the chosh of the parts of the Korbanos. All right. So, Tanah Rabbanan, I mean, Nayin Shekolam Mishmaris Shavas, how do we know, Taka, that all the Mishmaris are equal in those things of the Regalim? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, in Parashas Shoftim, Uvav b'chol avach nafshoi, the Kohen can come with all of his desire to bring the Korbanos, v'sheiros, and he can serve, as the Pasuk continues, k'chol achav ha'kohenim ha'omdim sham, like all the other fellow Kohenim who stand over there. So even though he's from a different Mishmar, the Mishmar that's currently, that whose turn it is currently, can't tell him it's not your turn. And once he's zoicha in the avoda, then automatically he also gets to eat the parts. The pasuk actually refers to Levi, and actually says this is one of the places where the kohenim and the pasuk are called Levi. Yochol ach b'shavi mos hashana kein. You would think the same rule applies during the rest of the year, since it says b'chol avas nafshoi. No, talmud lomar me achad sha'arecha. The pasuk says that he comes from one of your sha'arim, meaning lo yamarti el b'shar shekoy yisrael nechnosim b'sha'arecha. This din applies only when This din applies only when all Jewish people are coming into one gate, so therefore in one city, meaning the Shalosh Regalim, not the rest of the year. With that said, we do learn in Bava Kama a different din from that if a Kohen has a korban of his own that he needs to bring, then he can come anytime during the year and be makir of it, even though it's not his Mishmar's turn. But in terms of being zoicha in parts of the Korbanos Tzibur, that applies only during the Shalosh Regalim. And we'll continue with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and finish up the Masechta as well. Oh, yeah.